Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I saw a lot of good stuff from Dan Wetzel, who helped crystallize what he thinks this is going to mean. I know there's a lot of unanswered questions, and we don't know how each individual state is going to operate here. But, Dan, welcome to the show. And there's a lot that still has to be tackled here for this to get going, right?
Yeah, I mean, this basically allows the federal government to make a ruling on it. It's expected that they won't be able to get their act together to come up with anything and probably will just kick it to the states, which is, I think, seems to be the preferred method. But it could be regulated by the federal government, or it could go to each state to decide whether they want to do it or not. But each state will have that opportunity to kind of opt in the way you have with lotteries, the way you had with casino gambling for a long time, still do. And so it's more of a local issue than just allowing Nevada basically the monopoly on it.
Dan, I'm wondering why the teams or the MLB, NFL, whatever, why do they think they have the God-given right to get a piece of the action on this?
Now, that's a rather interesting question, and I don't know why. I mean, they're so used to getting a piece of the action, and they will try it certainly to lobby, but obviously, if they're getting a half a percent or 1% of the NBA wants or whatever the deal comes down, you know, does that affect the odds? And does that actually, you know, if too much of this is cut up in different ways, this is not a high profit deal for sports books in Las Vegas where we have it. You don't just make gazillions of dollars on this. It's sort of something else that casinos put out there. Now, there's obviously a lot of money, but if the teams and everyone's taking a cut, it's possible the odds have to reflect that, so there's still a margin. And you might actually be better off just still going with your illegal bookmaker that you've always had because they can give you better odds. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know why they think they have that right, other than the arrogance of they feel like they can bully the politicians into making it so, but I don't know why anyone would do it. I mean, New Jersey is going to start soon. Mississippi's already said they're going to start by the summer. I mean, they're going to start offering these wagers, and there isn't a whole lot that the leagues are going to be able to do about it.
Yeah, Dan Wetzel joins us on the hotline. It's not like the players are going to strike, right? Or the unions are going to say, well, we want a piece of this, or the league needs a piece of this, and then in turn we want our cut of that piece and boycott the games because – There's new gaming going on, right? That's nothing like that.
There's already wagering going on, not just illegally, which obviously is huge, but it's already going on in Nevada. It's also already going on overseas. So it's not, you know, they talk about, well, we need an integrity fee or this is a new thing. It's not a new thing. It's already happening and has been happening. You know, you can sit in London and bet on as many NFL games as you want. You can sit in Nevada and bet on as many NFL games as you want. So the fact that now you can do it in potentially Cleveland, what's the difference? This isn't really a new thing. So I don't know why they think they can get it. The one thing I do know, whatever the NFL wants, the NFL usually gets. They are very strong with politicians. So that's going to be really interesting. But I could certainly see some of these states saying, like, okay, if you're Mississippi, you don't have an NFL franchise. You're never getting an NFL franchise. What do you care about the NFL? Like, what can the NFL do to Mississippi? So maybe they can push around and say, hey, look, you want this or that, or we'd move a team or something out of Ohio. I mean, I don't know. But you certainly could see where some of the West Virginia, what do you care? Just do it.
How do you envision?
The integrity fee is going to be interesting to sort out. But for most people, and here's the thing, that the leagues are going to make a fortune anyway. There's all these new advertisers, TV ratings they show. If you're gambling, you watch like 47% more games or minutes of a game than the average fan. You watch more games. Like TV ratings will go up. sponsorship. There's so much money coming to the leagues because of this anyway. The integrity fee thing is not, it's not like this is the only way the leagues are going to, the NFL is going to cash in. Everyone's going to cash in on this anyway.
This will be simplified here, but how do you envision the way it looks? For example, would it have to be at casinos? Would it be at the game itself? Would it be at sports bars? How do you envision this thing happening?
That can be all of those. Kiosks. I mean, if you go, I've been to London a few times. Anyone who's been to England, there's literally these little betting parlors all over the country. They're almost like, it's like 7-Elevens. They're everywhere. They're like these small little studios. You walk in, you can make bets on kiosks. You can do it. There's betting parlors at Wembley Stadium in London. Same way you can bet at horse tracks. Some places are going to try to protect their casinos and say you can only bet at the casino. Some are going to let you do anyway. The big money will be on mobile because everyone's on their phone, and so you can be betting right from the game. There's also this concept of micro betting where you're not just betting on the traditional things, you know, who's going to win tonight's game. You can bet as the game goes on. So, look, you know, you're betting the Browns are, you know, good luck, but you're betting the Browns win the game. And let's say they're let's just throw a hypothetical out there. Let's say they're losing 30-0. And you go, I lost the bet, I'm out. Well, you can also bet now they take over the ball in the middle of the fourth quarter, and you can bet in the instant,
if they
score,
here
are the odds that they're not going to get a first down on this drive, or they are going to get first down. Or you can bet a baseball game in the eighth inning and say, this guy's going to strike out or not. It's almost like the game stops becoming just a game, and it's like a spin of a roulette wheel or a hand of blackjack, where what we're tuned to look at is, say, the entire shoe of blackjack and say, hey, the players are going to win 52% of these hands and the dealers only win 4. This is almost each individual bet. So because of that, mobile and online becomes bigger because you got to make quick bets. Now those, you know, so the technology can change. So some of the brick and mortar stuff may not even be that important in the long run, but pretty much anything this thing can spin really, really quick because there's a lot of quick money to be made on it.
Dan, help me on this one. Hypothetically, you're at a Browns game again, and the Browns are, let's say, an underdog. Well, whatever the situation is, where you make the football play and go for the field goal or go for a touchdown or whatever, and you win the game, but you have unhappy fans who bet the other way. How's the NFL going to justify that for the season ticket holders?
Don't gamble. I mean, if you want to gamble, you gamble.
No. That's not what I mean. Is they don't want their fans booing their team because they won the game but didn't cover.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, that can happen now still too. I mean, there was already gambling going on, and there has been. I don't know how you. The NFL is not the one that's legalizing this. They fought against it. They're just going to have to deal with it. So will there be some fans that are upset? Yeah, but more fans are going to be pretty excited the Browns won a game.
It's been a long time coming.
That's going to happen one day soon.
Let's talk about the Cavs,
right? Hey, Dan Wetzel, join us on the hotline. I have come up, and I'm not the only person who's done this, but I came up with a new formula. I think this is how we should fund going forward. This is how we should fund stadiums. If Mark Cuban's right, he was on record saying that some teams will double in value. I'm sure they all won't, but some will go up in value. Obviously, there's more ratings. There's, you know, the market share is going to be different. I think there's going to be more money and more revenue. To me, this is the end of the way that current stadiums are publicly financed. They can still be publicly financed, but it should be through the gamblers who actually use the stadium and care about the sports, not just, you know, beer drinkers and cigarette smokers who live in the county who would never go, which is the case right now here in Northeast Ohio and in other markets. And also, the owners have this new revenue. And to me, this is the way that the public should get together and say, never again, never should we fund stadiums. Do you think that's feasible?
Well, I think that's a great idea because, as you know, very few people use the stadium, and they're always trying to push this economic impact idea on why. And I, you know, certainly there is some of that, particularly for, you know, baseball or basketball. It's really hard in football because there's just not many dates and everyone brings their own food and stuff like that. But I think that's a great idea. you need forward-thinking politicians and things like that. And again, you got to have to go against the NFL. Not easy to do, but I think there's a lot of revenue that should be earmarked. I mean, this is found money for these states. And so whether it's that or whether it's to higher education or local education, which we've seen in the past, I'm always skeptical. They've had lotteries everywhere that said we're going to solve all our local education funding problems. And I've yet to see the community where they don't have that problem. So I don't know where all this money goes, but it would be great if that kind of stuff was put aside and taken out, because there's too many people who have nothing to do with the stadium that are paying for it. We don't do that with building an opera house or something like that. And let alone you need a new one every 20 years. So that'd be good. I think there's a lot of things, and that's what the state legislatures will get in on. Right now there's a little bit of a race, but again, with the NFL's issue, there's more states without NFL teams or NBA teams than there are. You know, if you're West Virginia, you just don't care. Now they've talked about setting some aside for the athletic departments at WVU and Marshall, which I thought was interesting. I don't know how much money a state as big as West Virginia could bring in, but that could be significant funding. And actually, it'd be kind of interesting, because a school like Marshall, which isn't, you know, a major player in college athletics, what if they became a major player? You know, imagine if Nevada did that with UNLV and Nevada football. Those two places could have huge funding and could have been really, really big programs, even though traditionally they aren't. Like, there's a lot of things that could change the paradigm of how athletics works.
Right. Hey, Dan, you mentioned, turn the page a little bit. You mentioned the Browns, and we've got a situation here where they're going to be on Hard Knocks, and they've got a first pick of the draft in Baker Mayfield. How do you think Mayfield shakes out? Tyrod Taylor is allegedly going to be the starting quarterback. What do you see happening here?
Well, in general, when they do these deals, you know, with the number one pick, they're starting by the end of September. So Tyrod Taylor, I think, will probably start the season unless he gets beat out. I do think there's an interesting dynamic with the Browns, is if Tyrod Taylor starts winning games, and because they're 1-31, any victory is going to be, you know, a huge deal. And even if they get five victories, it's sort of a successful season. I actually think he's got a better chance of keeping his job than most of the time when these things go down. But when you draft someone number one, you're going to play him. And that's when we're going to see what Baker Mayfield can do or not. Nobody can figure out how to pick a quarterback. Nobody can predict how good a quarterback's going to be. There's no blueprint. So you just really have to get them out in the field and see. And then it's really about how hard they want to work week in, week out. The one thing I would say about Mayfield that will determine whether he can make it, other than just is he good enough, which we'll see, is does he want to work the way you see, a Tom Brady still 365 days a year dedicated to the job, the film session, all the stuff, even though it's like, dude, you're 41, I think we know you can throw a football. He doesn't slack, and that's why he can keep it going. You have to have that drive, and there's just no way to tell some of these things. So I would expect Mayfield to start pretty quick, but I do think, like, hey, if the Browns win two games in September, I mean, you guys are going to be pretty, like, who's calling for Baker Mayfield, right? Everyone's excited. They're 2-2. So Taylor might be able to hold on to this a little longer than normal.
I would agree with you if a few years ago we didn't have Brian Hoyer at 7-4 and everybody clamoring for Johnny Manziel, and we know how that ended. But thank you.
That is true.
I appreciate the time, Dan, as always.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Dan,
there
thanks.
Dan Wetzel, appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A lot to think about there if you have.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.